Fiery Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 at 7:05, October the 14th. Almost halfway through this month, into the fall. Weather's getting better. Carl and Linda Bott, and Linda, it's Thursday, is on assignment, so my co-host
is Missy MacArthur.
I'm moving Missy's can of drink, which with no top on it could shut down the entire electronics that we have here if you spilled it on anything there. Vice Mayor.
So that could happen.
Good morning, Missy. Thanks for joining us today. I really like this co-host thing, this guest co-host thing. You bring a new look at things, how we do stuff, and new ideas here. You know, of course, you know, there'll be no kissing during the breaks, like with Linda and I, though.
Definitely not.
Okay, definitely not that. And of course, you know, hey, we're joined by Bad Bob. Bad Bob?
Sir.
Are you making sure everything's okay over there?
Yes, sir.
Is the chat line up?
It's about to come up in a few more seconds.
Right? Okay.
Just getting the computer booted. Getting the tough book running.
There you go. Our phone line's here at 530-605-4567. And you can chat with us at kcnr1460.com, or you can listen to a stream. I know a lot of people tell us that in the morning they're doing work, and so they'll just turn us on, they'll start listening to the show, and then they can get on with their other business they're doing. We went to the Salvation Army Red Kettle kickoff yesterday, and it was a nice luncheon. And what they talked about is all the things that the Salvation Army does for people. I mean, thousands and thousands of people it helps. And and there's a couple of stories out there from people that have been helped so much by the Red Cross, and including a well-known radio personality from a different network, you might say, that really helped her immensely. And it was, and you don't realize it, you know, that the money that you bring in here stays here.
Yeah, the Salvation Army is great. I've done the bell ringing. My son's done the bell ringing.
Well, we have done that we've done it for 3 years in a row. And the one thing that we noticed was that, you know, people come up and you can't tell. I mean, we never look at what people put in. I mean, that's, you know, people just reach over and they put things into the kettle. And parents will give little kids money and they run up. They think it's great. I think it's great that parents are teaching their children to be able to give that way.
You know, and what's so inspiring about the giving is a lot of times it's the people that don't seem, by appearance, don't seem to have much, and they are the big givers.
Absolutely. We had a case, and we were our first year. We were out in front of Gottschalk's when Gottschalk's was still there, when we had an economy. And and as we were leaving, we'd been there for an hour, a little bit over an hour, and had, you know, just had a lot of people stop by and drop off stuff. And as we're starting to pull out, this green van pulls in and blocks us off. This is an old van. And this guy gets out, a tough-looking older guy, and I tell Linda to stay inside the car. And I went out to meet him, and he says, "Are you a Carl Bott?" And I went, "Yeah." He says, "I have something for you." And he opens up the sliding door of the green van. And in it is, you know, of course, stuff like tools and everything. And it's an igloo cooler, you know, one of the little bit larger ones. Not the big one, but kind of large ones like you'd put in, like, you know, a couple six-packs of Coke or beer or something. And he opens it up, and it's full of quarters that he'd been saving. Just been saving them.
Wow.
Change. And he gave it to us to be able to give to people. And he says his name was Jim. He wouldn't tell us his whole name. He just say Jim. And I still to this
day
think about that. It is, because here was a man that he just saved all year. Now, you know, that ended up being like $300.
That's a Christmas story, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he just gave to it. And plus there's other people that we know that came up and just they threw something in. It was an example of how Reading is a caring city.
And, you know, talk about caring, the great story of the 33 miners getting out and the people around the world, and myself included, yesterday morning,
cheering.
We're all cheering, but we're all crying. We're so happy.
Well,
it was such great news. And when everybody is up on the good, solid earth again and grieving new babies.
Oh yeah,
one baby was born.
I know one minor that wasn't happy though. Well, that was the minor that when he came up, there was two women that wanted to see him, his wife and his girlfriend.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that was a screamer.
Last time I saw something of that emotional level was when they took the little kid who had fallen down in Texas. This was, 20 years ago? It was one of the first big national things on CNN. This was when, you know, they were just getting CNN started. And Jessica, what's her name, fell down the well.
Oh, yeah.
And there was that big, I mean, I remember watching
I remember that live,
and there's this huge, and I'm going, and I, in retrospect, I'm thinking, why did I get so viscerally drawn into the story? It was well told, and of course that was the very early days of being able to do things like that on location, you know, seeing it as it happened.
It was the same thing as watching a car wreck.
Yeah.
Because you wanted everything to be good. Mm. But there was that element of danger and disaster. I think that touches everybody.
Mm. 69 days they were down there, and I'm thinking, seems like we can go through stone faster than we can go through water. How many days was it to fix the oil spill?
Well, see, the thing about that was that the ones down in Chile obviously knew what they were doing, and the people out there in the Gulf obviously didn't. You know, they didn't expect something like that to happen so deep. And the thing with the Chileans is that they were drilling using techniques that had worked for them before. And in this one, you had nobody was really too sure what they were supposed to do. Hey, but we're gonna take our first break here. We've got an interesting show today. You know, there's been the commercials that are the political commercials that are flying back and forth. We're gonna discuss one of those today, and we'll also have Senator Maurice Johannesson on today. And we're going to be talking about some things with the memorial building, otherwise known as the chapel. Then we're going to have just a couple other local events going. But then Missy and I can be talking about, who knows, she's got like 46 pages of notes that we're going to be talking about. This is Carl Lindebach with Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur sitting in for us. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our radio at KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot, 7:15 in the morning, October 14th. Our guest co-host today, Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur. How you doing, Missy?
I'm great. Hey, let's talk a little bit about California water, Carl.
Let's do that.
I went to a water series conference last night, and it was pretty interesting. Some of the things that maybe some of your listeners don't know is that in terms of water for the state of California, the Sacramento Valley provides 74% to 75% of the state's water. And this goes down, of course, through the Delta. There's now been established a Delta Stewardship Council. And the bad news is that they are looking north. They're looking north at potentially more issues for us. This might be salmon. It might be the smelt. So that are impacting our water supply. So the salmon and the smelt are sort of at odds with each other because, in fact, if you keep the water cold for the salmon, then it's too warm for the smelt. And the smelt are an environmentally endangered species.
But aren't the smelt a non-native species to California?
Well, and that's the problem. And, of course, this all goes back to the fact that it's going to impact us in the North State. And this government entity, the Delta Stewardship Council that's been appointed, will be potentially dictating to us up here in the North State. It's a little bit
unsettling.
It's another step for the state to take away our local powers up here.
So now, who appointed this Delta Stewardship?
I think it was appointed by various people. I think the governor and other legislators, I think, were the appointing.
And so because of this, then they can say, oh, okay, now this water, we may need to move it this way or that way or all these things.
Right. And
it affects us.
And just an FYI is that the environmental water percent is 46% used for environmental purposes, for farming 43%, and for homes, businesses, and urban areas, it's only actually 11%.
So it doesn't go fill swimming pools in Los Angeles, as is the popular saying.
No, no.
Well,
but
yes,
the,
yes, it does.
But well,
11% of it goes to people and homes,
but now, not all of it.
Well, no, but I've been in. How many times you've been in? I've been in Palm Springs before and watched the watering going on there. But there's tons of golf courses in the. But it's not even just the golf courses; it's they're watering the streets and the sides there.
Well, actually, the water use over the throughout the state is going down. Agriculture, especially, is going down. They've figured out ways to stretch those water
Underground water things like. But and didn't they just cut out all the water that went down to was it the Stockton area for all those farms?
Unfortunately, that's part of this issue.
Yeah, it just wiped out all those farms down there.
Yeah, it's very scary. And I saw that Barbara Boxer was down trying to stir up some positive views from the farmers, and the Farm Bureau came out and said, you know, she's a disaster for us.
Well, the rice growers just thought she was a great person. You know, I mean, Barbara Boxer is a disaster for the state of California and the state, you know, the United States. The things that she's voted on for the last 26 years, anything that's negative that you can think of is she's voted for. It includes Iraq and Afghanistan, by the way, my friends. Okay, well, you know what? We've had other people on here talking about other water grabs up in Siskiyou County by the state. You know, this is just something else that, here, let us take just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. You know, pretty soon we have no more of this nor that.
One quick little information piece, and then we can go on to another subject, is that if this Delta Stewardship Council has their way, from November to June, 75% of the flow must be unimpaired out through the Delta. It's impossible. It's impossible. You're talking about losing the dam.
Oh, so that means you have to pull the dams down
well,
to do this?
Well, you wouldn't actually pull the dam down, but you'd let the water just free flow.
I can think of this time of the year that's a really bad idea.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to happen. So I don't know how
how do people fight this thing?
I think
Nielsen,
that...
Well,
unfortunately, the speaker yesterday was saying that we basically have, two assembly people and one state senator for this huge area up here. So we're outnumbered and outgunned. That's what he said. It's a little scary out there.
California Water Series. Get your California water. And Holly Dolly was the...
CH2M Hill.
Uh-huh. Sustainability in an Era of Change, New Directions for California Water Policy. From Ron Davis. And a View from Shasta Lake. And Regional Sustainability. Northern California Water Association. David Guy. Maybe we should have David Guy on, have him in.
I think that...
Might be a good idea to have him on this.
It would be a great subject.
Yeah, okay. All right. Hey, we got to take a break here. This is Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Bott and our guest co-host, Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur, while Linda is off on assignment getting ready for her show tonight. It starts at 6 o'clock on the spot with Linda Bott. We'll join you after these messages. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. The time is 7:25 in the morning. It's a beautiful day. It's 57 degrees today, and it's going to be sunny with a high near 88. Calm winds becoming southerly between 4 and 7 miles per hour. You know, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. What a great place to visit. And in fact, tomorrow night, Candice LaVolce will be out there playing harp, probably one of the greatest harpists in the state, if not the whole Western United States or whole United States. I mean, she is just outstanding. And she'll be out there from 6 to 9 at Anselmo Vineyards. And that's a great place. Let's go to the phones here. Roberta, you're on.
Yes, talking about water. I went to a water meeting at the Republican convention that had all the people from the valley down there where they shut the water off. and because of the Delta smelt. And one of the things they said that we don't hear about is that Stockton, that their effluent goes into the bay there, and the ammonia plume is so bad that the fish could not even live in it. They can't breathe.
Wow.
And you don't hear about that, but they're allowed to put all their effluent with all that ammonia into the river.
I think they said
the palms, I'm not sure about this, were like 50 miles from where the Delta smelt mostly are, and that only very few have ever gone up in the pump. So I think this is all manufactured to shut down America. I see it as sinister. I do not see it as saving fish or anything, any plant, any bug. I think it's out to destroy our jobs here in our state and in America.
I think Roberta, that people are trying to get back to a spot that never was. And, you know, and to do this, you've got to totally control. And by the way, this is not about environment. This
No.
is not about water.
No.
This is about controlling people.
That is right. It's
you control our water, you then control us. And
uh-huh.
if people think otherwise, you're barking up the wrong tree, my friends. This is not just to save a bunch of smelt, little bitty fish. They could care less. It's to control our water, which then controls us.
That's right. I agree with you totally. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Roberta.
Bye.
Of course, that could just be my idea. But I believe that. I believe you start getting into things like this, Missy.
Well, Roberta made a good comment that was also mentioned last night, and that was that the Delta is so polluted at this point that they, and in fact that the fish are being somewhat poisoned and
Because of the ammonia coming out?
Yes, it's just a mess. So they're saying what they need to do is just sort of flush the Delta, just flush everything down and
so
through.
So that would be taking all of our water, all the water we stored up and everything, just like emptying Shasta Lake?
Is that the idea? That's part of this whole idea of the 75%, is that the water would just flush through and then not be cold enough for the salmon, and it wouldn't be the reservoir wouldn't be full.
And you remember how the reservoir was a couple of years ago? I mean, when it was down 150 feet or more. And then so now, let's just turn 75% of the water loose so it goes straight down. Now, the only positive thing I might see on that is it might clear all the debris and the mud that's on the gravel that's downstream that, you know, because salmon like to, you know, breed on gravel or lay their eggs on gravel. But
well, it's sort of that there are two endangered species. Yeah. I mean, not that salmon are endangered. I shouldn't say that. But
for 2 years, they acted like it.
Well, yeah. They're trying to get the counts up.
Yeah.
And it's like the smelt versus salmon because...
Yeah. I vote salmon. I think everybody does.
Me too.
Smelt, you've had it. You're going down. All right. Hey, we've got to take a break here for our news. This is Carl and Linda Botch, Free Fire Radio. Our guest co-host, Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur, is standing in. Join us after these messages. DNR 1460. It is 7:34 on October the 14th. It's 57 degrees out there, it looks like. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to go up to 89. My guest co-host today is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur. Good morning, Missy.
Good morning.
I'm really glad you're here. You know, you're just smiling on your face and all that. You're just...
Well, you know, people have told me I have a face for radio.
Oh, come on. We've heard that before several times, several thousand times. Usually they're describing me. So, you know. Hey, you know what? We love to get into our community, as people know, and to support community events, especially when the community events are to help some people that are maybe a little bit less fortunate than us. And our guest today is Susan Wilson, and she's from the Older Adult Policy Council. And we're going to talk about Power to the Seniors Celebrity Soup Kitchen, the 9th annual. That's going to be October 28th, which is next, two weeks from today. Yeah, that's right. Susan, tell us about it.
Well, Power to Seniors Celebrity Soup Kitchen is a kind of a fixture, I think, in Shasta County. What we do with the money from Power to Seniors is pay electric bills for seniors, and we pay those throughout Shasta County, but needless to say, most of them are in Redding. Our money comes from two places, and one of them is the Celebrity Soup Kitchen, so we're hoping that lots of people attend. We're hoping that people donate money. We're hoping that people buy raffle tickets. We have some fabulous raffle baskets. I've been listening to people who have called me up and said, well, we have an iPad and a hard drive in one, and we have, you know, some really exciting stuff going on. One of the things we do have is celebrity soup servers, and I understand, Carl, that you and Linda are among our celebrity soup servers.
Yes, we will be. Linda's got a show that night, but you know what? We're going to be there early, and I'll be there till at least 6 o'clock.
Okay,
so
great.
And you know what? I can ladle some soup, so just stand by.
And I think we just talked Missy into it, too.
You got it.
Yep.
I'll be there.
We have Missy there. We'll get you know.
So we
it'll be before the election. You may be surprised how many people are going to be there.
I would agree. We have now, I think, a total of about 15 different soups coming along. Those include vegetarian soups. I've had several calls. Do we have vegetarian soup? Yes, we have vegetarian soup. A lot of different restaurants stepping up. One of the fun things this year, I think, compared to years past, this used to be a county project, and the county of Shasta County staff really ran the project and supported the project, which was great. Now they've got cutbacks and economic times have changed, and the community has really stepped up to fill the breach. I have to say, a shout out actually to Copper Ridge Care Home. We had to pay for the VA, the Veterans Hall this year, and Copper Ridge met that bill for us. So that's
awesome.
Really great. You know, it helps us. If we have to pay $1,000 out of our
proceeds. It's here for Copper Ridge.
Yay. Yeah. If we have to pay out of our proceeds, you know, that's $1,000 less we have.
How many seniors do you think you'll help? Do you have an idea of if you sell out, how many will actually be?
Well, what we need to do is raise about $25,000 or $30,000. That's sort of the average we raise every year. We raise it two ways. One is the Celebrity Soup Kitchen. The other is by people filling in on their Reading utility bill. If you look at your Reading utility bill, it has this little place that says Share PTS. And if you put money in there, that money comes to Power to Seniors. So I figured out one day that I could raise my $30,000 if everyone who got an electric utility bill from Reading gave $1 a month, I would get about $35,000 a year. So isn't that an interesting factoid?
Maybe we should be promoting
you know,
that.
So that's my new thing is a dollar a month.
Well, how do seniors
access the program?
Access the program, and how what levels do they have to meet to be on this?
Well, there are some requirements. Obviously, the way to access the program is through Golden Umbrella, and they call Golden Umbrella. A senior, we define, you know, seniors are defined various ways, and as we get older, we like the age to go up, but our senior definition is 62 years of age. They have to be in a household, and they have to be at 200% of poverty, federal level poverty. And somebody asked me the other day what that number is, and I have to tell you, I don't know. But most people who live on some kind of assistance meet that requirement, obviously.
So if you 200% of the poverty level. So if your poverty level is $1,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
so they've got to be they can make 200% more than that.
No.
No, that's not it, right?
No, 200% of poverty level would be it's a number. It's a number.
It's just a number.
It's a number. And it depends. It changes according to how many people live in the household, and that's why it's hard to keep all those numbers in my head. The other factor is that you really have to have a shut off notice that you're losing your utilities. So you can't just call up and say, hey, I'm a little short this month and I could use some help.
Okay, that's a big thing. That's a big thing.
I mean, you have to be at the end of your rope, so to speak. We provide those services to about somewhere around 70 people a year. You would think that there might be more, but about 70 people a year, and we spend about $25,000, $30,000 a year. Over the 10 years the program's been in business, we've spent $275,000 on electric utility bills for seniors.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to get Trish Clark to show up? She used to ramrod this thing.
Uh-huh.
And Trish, she was great.
Yeah, Trish was the leader. And she is going to be our MC.
Oh,
she's
great.
Going to be our master of ceremonies. She's going to do all the raffle baskets and keep people moving and do all that stuff. So I'm very excited about that. And I think I think she has talked about it a little bit on the radio. She's finally retired, you know, and congratulations to her, you know.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved. She really was the leader of the soup kitchen for up until, you know, 2 years ago.
Well, she's always been a voice for the seniors, mm-hmm. especially in Anderson with the senior center down there.
Frontier Senior Center, mm-hmm. That's right.
Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. Our guest is Susan Wilson from the older adult policy, which gets down to its power to the seniors, and this is the Celebrity Soup Kitchen we're talking about. Our celebrity guest host is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur. We always act like I'm not going to say that right. You know, Missy's looking at me. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl and the Bot from Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to 744. It's October 14th. It's going to be a nice day today. My guest co-host is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur, and our guest is Susan Wilson from the Power to the Senior Celebrity Soup Kitchen. Okay, give us the facts one more time, and we'll get you out of here.
The facts one more time. Power to Seniors Celebrity Soup Kitchen is on Thursday, October 28th, which is 2 weeks from today, 4:30 to 8 o'clock at the Veterans Hall at 1605 Yuba Street. The cost for the soup is $12. In addition,
and this is great soup.
And this is great soup. This is from all your local restaurants, and it's served by your local celebrities. If you have entertainment by the Straight Ahead Big Band, we'll have delicious desserts for your purchasing pleasure and fabulous raffle baskets that we'll also have, and we'll have raffle tickets for sale. So we hope that many people will attend. We want to raise $25,000 for our seniors.
Okay, if you have any questions, call 524-4777. Or go to the goldenumbrella.org website. That's Thursday, October 28th, from 4:30 to 8, Soup Kitchen. This is the ninth annual. Linda and I will be there. Missy will be there. I'm sure there will be a lot of people that will be there there to help serve soup to help our seniors that are in need. And the seniors, this just isn't handed out. These are seniors that have already had a disconnect notice. All right. Hey, thank you so much, Susan.
And thank you for having me.
You
bet.
We'll
see you there, Susan.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Randy,
yes.
Thank you for waiting.
All right, thank you. I'm glad to get a chance to talk to Missy about a problem that is still being had in the Mission Square concerning medical marijuana co-ops. The square is has had to hire security to deal with the problems. The city has said that these marijuana co-ops do not belong in this type of a building, but yet has grandfathered the co-ops that are here because they took so long to come up with regulations that they were already established. So, Missy, we have a problem. Would you please come down and look at it?
Yeah, I'm assuming this is Randy Bright. I've heard you speak, and I actually went to the semi-trial at City Hall that Mr. Sarman conducted in terms of the penalties for some of the issues that have occurred down there. And I feel pretty comfortable that Chief Hansen has the issues at hand. We're all watching and paying attention to what's going on down there. We certainly sympathize with the issues that you've had. We're trying to do everything we can, but again, within the constraints of the law.
Hey, Randy, is there security problems or things like that that are going on? Hello, Randy? Randy?
Yes?
Is there, like, security problems going on? Is that why you're having to hire people?
Well, we had an incident where one of the members of the... someone who was here for the co-op had threatened one of the employees here in the square with their vehicle. We immediately got a security guard in here. He's been here for a month. There's numerous documented incidents. And as we know, the police are very busy.
Okay.
And I just can't understand why the city allows us to continue. They know they shouldn't be here. They've said they shouldn't be here. The only reason they're here is because they gave them grandfather status.
Okay.
And actually, Randy, by the way, I have actually gone
by there.
I'm sorry. I've actually gone by there and not come into your shop, but I have, you know, been in the Mission Square. And if you like, I can come in actually to your place of business. I have sort of not done that because I don't want to appear partisan to either party.
Hey, Randy, thank you for your question. We're having a tough time hearing you in the background there.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
You know, we got to take a break here in a minute. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, just when you think the economy might be leveling off, at least, and continues to plummet. Then we get the new statistics that we have more people for the first time in 3 weeks that are looking for jobs. You've got there's no jobs out there. The companies are holding back because they're not sure what's going to happen with the taxes and that at the national level. And then Shasta County in the third quarter, the foreclosure filings, default notices, schedule auctions, and bank repossessions are up again. Not a lot, but they're still up from 1,007 to 1,034 in this quarter. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we get back with the vice mayor. And then our guest at 8 o'clock will be Senator Mattis Johannesson. And we're going to talk some of the things that are going on in the chapel and the vet's home. And then we've got another subject we're going to be talking about later on in the show about at what point do ads, political ads, cross a line? Or do they? Call in to Bot Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Out on Airport Road, Doug Tooley and his guys put in Dish Satellite. They put it in quickly. They guarantee their work. They've been in business since 1985, 244-1988. Doug Tooley. And here's the other thing. Local guy, great work. Dish Satellite guarantees his work. Local, hires local. Money stays local. Hey, our guest co-host today is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur, and we were talking when we left here about the number of foreclosures that have started here or continued in Shasta County. And they had 418 new filings in Shasta County in the third quarter, the most since 419 were recorded in September of 2009. And it's an all-time monthly high since they started tracking the North State in 2005. And most important, new default notice filings, the first stage in foreclosure, went up in Shasta County in September for the third straight month. 178 default notices last month, up from 169 in August, but down from 185 in August of 2009.
This is just not good news.
No, I wouldn't say that.
There's no way to sweet sugarcoat that one.
No, there isn't. And, you know, and here's the thing is, I went down to a business, Linda and I were at a business yesterday. I'm not going to mention the business. They showed all the new starts, you know, for the building permits and all this. You look at it, one new home. Everything else. And there used to be like pages and pages of these. This was like four or five pages. I mean, that's all that came out. They were all redoing homes, remodeling. Fixing a fireplace, you know, doing a garage thing.
Yeah,
all of these, and yet, it still takes months to get a permit through. I don't understand why. I mean, there should be people standing around the permit place down there.
Well, there is, of course, less personnel. We have had to make serious cutbacks. I think the development department is one of the hardest hit. In the city
of
Reading.
The thing is
I'm sure the county's doing the same thing.
Well, Rick Bassetti said he sees that, you know, with the amount of fees, you know, the cost to everybody in this time, is that he said something about having a moratorium for a long time, for like a year,
right,
on fees, so people could get things going there.
Mm-hmm. That's what
we need
to do. Oh, I absolutely agree with that. The permit fees are expensive. I have a little place in Chico. My son's a Chico State student, and we had to hook up the city sewer down there. It had been on a septic that failed, and I'll tell you what, the whole project was, $14,000. $7,000 were permit fees.
And this was in Chico?
In Chico. So and I'm sure the same thing probably is happening here. So
Well, I imagine. Like, I'd like to see what the difference is. I bet there's not. I bet there is a difference. I bet we charge more. They were putting in the restaurant next door. I understand is that the fees for the restaurant here are higher than they are in Dallas.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dallas, Texas. It's not like Dallas, California, which is five people or something. This is what I don't understand. If we come back and we get, and everybody agrees we've got problems with getting the permits through, with the amount of fees and all that, which seems to be everybody's in agreement with this. And I know you've heard, as many as I've heard, of the complaints about that department. Why are we still having complaints? Why hasn't somebody gone down there and either put everybody back on the straight and narrow or decapitated the leadership and pushed somebody else in there?
I guess I have to say that I feel that we do have good employees. I have to defend our employees. I think they're good. I think that there are glitches, and part of that has to do with too many hoops and steps to go through. That happens. On the other hand, I've had some people say that their permits, and some big developers have said their permit process just went smooth as could be and just flew through, and they were very happy with the staff. So I think maybe, like anything, there may be a few bad apples in the barrel, and maybe sometimes people get the bad apple.
Well, you know, and that's true. And I don't mean that there's bad people working down there, because when I've gone to different agencies at the city, I've been treated very well. What I'm talking about is this seems to be a consistent thing. So it's either the regulations, the rules, or the way that they're looked at that seems to be the problem.
We have a question. How do those fees get reset? Is that a council action or what?
Actually, it's a recommendation by the development department. They come to us and we either approve or don't approve.
Okay, so we can drop fees during this time.
Well, yes. And what we're doing actually right now to help things is to, as you had mentioned, that Mr. Bassetti has recommended, and as we're doing, is delaying those fees. Because right now, as you're pointing out with these foreclosures, there's people don't have money. And we do want to stimulate the economy as much as we can by having people get back to work, either remodeling or building. So we want those people doing that work. That helps the general fund, which helps put, you know, cops and firefighters out there. So
yeah.
we want that money, and so we are willing to forego, for a time being, those permits.
Okay. Well, you know, anything that we can do.
I should say permit cost.
Right. Permit cost. No, I understand. Hey, this is Carlin DeBott. Our guest co-host is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after these messages with Senator Maurice Johannesson.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding. Reflect those on radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:05 on October 14th. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is getting ready for her show tonight, On the Spot with Linda Bott. She's got a great show coming with music and theater and, of course, her the woman in a man's world breaking the glass ceiling. And her guest tonight is going to be Brenda Belongi, talking about she works for the Cal Fire and working for
U.S. Forest Service.
U.S. Forest Service, okay. But, of course, our guest host today.
Missy MacArthur.
She won't, well, you keep thinking, what, I'm going to say something wrong here. Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur. You know, we're really happy to have you here today, Missy.
Thank you. It's great being here.
Well, you know what? We like to have somebody different on Thursdays, you know, get a different viewpoint, get different people in here. And we're going to continue to do that. As we move along here, weather today, it's 58 degrees. It's going to get up to like 88 today. It's going to be a nice sunny day. I think we've seen the last of the triple digits. Hopefully we're going to start, it's mid-October, we can start watching things being staying in the 80s from now on. You know, we have a number of guests, you know, throughout the year on our show, and this gentleman has been here before and will continue to be here as a semi-regular permanent guest when we want to talk about veterans issues and what's going on, because he is so in the middle of all the veterans issues. And that's Senator Maurice Johannesson. Good morning.
Good morning, and glad to be here. And Missy looks beautiful as always. You sometimes, but you're okay.
Okay, you know, I got, you know, okay, face for radio, all right? Yeah. But Missy, you're always looking good.
Thank you.
So, you know, we were going to talk about an event that you have coming up, and it's done so well, we can still talk about it.
Well, what we had, of course, was an event Friday at the Veterans Hall.
Tomorrow.
And it is so successful, it really concerns, thanks to you guys, Mike, and all the, you know, promo. This has really been so successful, we get a little worried now. But we are not... You almost have to call in now to see availability on tickets or anything, because I think it's going to be several hundred. I mean, it's really, really gotten good.
Okay, and this is a dinner? And
it is a dinner, buffet dinner, but tri-tips and all kinds of good stuff, and it's for the benefit of the chapel.
And yeah, and speaking of the chapel, where are we with the chapel now?
Well, we are about 30 to 45 days behind where we should be, because believe it or not, availability of people to do the work is really heavy. I didn't believe it would be that way, but it really is. And they are really busy, and it's hard, you know, to pull away from one job to get to the next and so forth. So, but we're hoping that by this week we should be able to put on some good stucco and a few things. We're still hoping to have the steel on the roof itself. And they just pulled in all the equipment to put in the curbs and gutters and all that kind of stuff yesterday. So I think we should be on the way for that. We are hoping to have the building really presentable. Not finished totally inside, but presentable when we have the 11th.
On the 11th?
Yeah.
November 11th.
So they can go over there and take a look and see what it is. Everybody that goes there, they are absolutely amazed at what that building really is, the size of it and the way it is designed and everything. In fact, we had the Roger Bradigan, which is the current Secretary of Veteran Affairs, come up here with his wife, and he walked in there and he said, "Oh my God, I didn't realize it was this big and this nice." So it is really coming along. I'm going to be proud of it. A lot of work by the veterans. By God, I got to get it done.
Well, you know, this is for, you know, for people that are not quite sure what we're talking about here. Perhaps you just moved here or found the station or just haven't been paying attention. The senator decided on his own dime that we needed a place out there at Igo, at our national cemetery out there, at the California, where our veterans are laid to rest with honor. There was no place to get out of the weather. They had a shelter there, but with the not very large, and there was no walls on it or anything. And on his own, he just said that, you know, we need to have this, and
I
then
think it's
built it.
Just absolutely amazing, and Senator Johannesson deserves so many accolades for spearheading this and getting it done. It's I'm hoping that I can take my two brothers out and show them the facility. They both served in Vietnam, and see if that would be someplace they'd like to be laid to rest.
I tell you, this is a project by veterans for veterans, and it's going to be done. But I hasten to say, you know, what it started out as, I was really, really concerned that we couldn't handle the total load, because actually the value of the building itself is about $682,000. I tell you, people are stepping up, doing things, and I think we won't get it paid for, but it's going to be a lot less of a burden, you know, to me than it should be. For example, we have the chief executive officer, Will, of OSHA, Shannon, which is Larry Wagger, and this Builders Exchange. All of these people are stepping up on this thing and helping. So, in fact, there it is. Jerry told me, he says, "Why don't you just go to sleep and let us handle it?" Thank you. But
you know, and by the way, this, and for people that maybe I didn't make this clear, there's no taxpayer funds being used in this. This is not money coming out of the taxpayers' dollars.
Yeah,
this
Senate,
is the senator's on the hook for this, and then the people that have volunteered to help, all the construction people, other people that, you know, that are donating, you know, the drive-bys, the dinners, and things like this.
And so this dinner will actually hopefully offset some of those costs.
This is what I hope it will, And it seems like it will. And in fact, some of them substantial things like Sierra Pacific, of course, donated all the windows and everything, and they're beautiful. I mean, it's not the normal plastic. This is beautiful windows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, the value of that stuff is about $25,000 just in itself.
They
and
do make
well,
great
people
windows.
Stepped up.
And Shasta Regional, by the way, too, has been stepped up, and their foundation down south stepped up big time. I mean, it is something, I think it touches a core for people when we're talking about a, well, we call it a chapel. The state didn't want me to say that. They wanted me to call it a Veterans Memorial Building, but by God, it's a chapel.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? It's a place for, no matter what, if you have religion or not, it's when you go, you have a building now, you have a place of quiet and solitude and of it's you know of beauty that you can say goodbye to your loved one who has served our country. And it's there now. And it will be there very soon. Okay, we have to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Carl Linda Bott. Linda is getting ready for her show On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight. Start at 6 p.m. right here on your favorite station. And our guest co-host is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur. Good morning, Missy.
Good morning, Carl.
Good
to be here.
You know, Missy's smiling in the morning. You know, she was smiling at 7 o'clock. I don't start smiling until 7:43. Usually, and that's after I've had a chance to beat on Bob a little bit, you know, and then you know Bob will beat back, and you know at that point I start to smile. Hey, the weather today, it's 58 degrees. It's going to go up to 88. The weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, a great place to go to, a great place to eat. And on tomorrow night, Candice Lavolsi is going to be playing her harp up there, one of the greatest harpists probably in the United States, if not other places. And but she, if you've not heard Candice play, here's your opportunity to enjoy a 5-star meal and to listen to Candice play that harp so beautifully.
But if you don't want to go up there,
well, you have the event right there with the Senator Maurice Johannesson, who is our guest today, talking about the dinner tomorrow night and to raise funds for the chapel out at ICO.
Well, it's working just fine.
But you have to call now because see if you can get in. See,
we may not be able to accommodate.
Okay, but what number would they call, would people call?
The best way to call is 241-7500.
241-7500.
Yeah.
And people will be able to tell you to come or not come.
Right.
Okay.
We haven't seen that kind of crowd for a long time, and we're very, very pleased to see that. And obviously, it's a pretty worthwhile cause as well. And I think that people understand what we are trying to do.
It's exciting to see people turn out to support veterans. I just think
it is different here than it is probably anywhere else in the state of California. Of course, politicians in Sacramento think the Oregon line is the Sacramento city lines, you know.
Yeah.
So they don't understand that we have a big area up here that is, in fact, my district up here as a senator was all by itself, bigger in landmass than five of the Pennsylvania states back east, you know. So,
and you were very helpful in getting the veterans home up here. I went out the other day and they started the pours. They have the concrete in, and
yeah,
it's exciting as well.
We put together five homes, one West LA, Zadikoy, Lancaster, Fresno, and Redding, and the three homes in Southern California is already being occupied. Fresno is being built right now as we speak, and ours up here is also being built. And you're right, Missy, they poured the concrete. I call it my place, but they pulled the concrete. I'm still, of course, I'm not involved with it. I didn't out there quite often. And being that we put it together, obviously, I get sort of privileged to walk around that thing. I look at it all the time.
Well, it is great. We got a call on Monday from Bob Dunlap saying that they were pouring the mud, pouring the concrete, and you know we were there for the dedication, of course, and it's you know, one thing that Schwarzenegger said, you know, I don't agree with a lot he says, but he said that this was something that he wanted, and he was going to make it happen before he left office, and he did, and he said that he was going to continue to follow it, and I don't know what he could do, but He did get. He, you know, between you all, that they got the five homes built. Okay, now I've just got a we got a question on the from the phone. Is how can people contribute? Wait a minute, do they want to talk? Okay, how can people contribute directly to the chapel?
Well, they can do, basically, the best way to do it is if you call in at the same number, you can call the numbers we have for the office, which is 241-7500, or you can send it to the, you can send on emails, this kind of thing in there, and let me give you the email. I'm totally ignorant when it comes to email, so I got to have to split it off of there. But anyhow, you can call the KMJ at CalVetveteransAssistantGroup.com. That KMJ at CalVetveteransAssistantGroup.com. And they will give you, they'll key you into everything that's being done to do that. So please help. That's fine. That's one of the things that helps us a lot.
Great.
And you know, you mentioned during the break one of the contributors from our community.
Yes, the Shasta General, well, I call it
Shasta Regional.
Shasta Regional gave a stop by to see the CEO over there, and he, Randall, and he immediately said, "No problem." Handed me a check for $5,000, and I said, "Gee, thank you." And then he said, "Well, we're going to try to see if we can't get something more for you." So I sort of let that go for a while, and then he come back yesterday. And he had been down south, and the people that owns this particular hospital is also, I think they own, the guy named Reed, I believe, and Dr. Reed, and they own another 14 hospitals, something like that.
Shasta Regional here is part of what, is it Price or Prime, something like that?
And they ended up, anyway, he went down there, and he asked me, says, "So we'd like to get some money for the chapel up here," and he said, "What do you need?" So he just popped up $25,000. By gosh, if they didn't give him a check from the it's not from the hospital, it says they have some kind of a
fund there for community
but
support.
it is not this hospital itself. There's the Southern California group,
right.
and he says we are players in our areas, and we feel a responsibility to help and support these issues, and especially issues that deals with veterans coming back and so forth. So that was a real surprise.
Maurice, you know, the next time you go by there, you might mention this is a community radio station. I'm a veteran. You know, a $25,000 check, I would accept, you know, in the name of the community here. And
I think you probably
work.
Would.
Yeah, okay. Hey, look, we got to take
a break. But this is really nice.
Yeah, it was.
Shasta Regional really stepped up.
Yes, they do. And they've...
They help us a lot, too.
Shasta Regional's done a lot for our city here. Hey, we've got to take a break here. So we're going to take a break. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. You can chat with us at KCNR 1460. It's 826. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And that tomorrow at noontime, town hall meeting, we're going to be discussing politics, and we're going to have a couple of surprise guests. So we'll make that announcement tomorrow morning. We'll put it out on Facebook. We'll put it out on our website. But join us tomorrow at noon for lunch. And get a chance to meet people that you're going to want to ask questions to. Some of the candidates that, you know, that are just, you know, you want to hear what they're really saying without having to read it, without hearing it just on the just in the sound bites. Last week we had the mayor on, and he answered a whole lot of questions. We're going to continue to do that until the elections are over. And then after that, whoever wins, we're going to talk to them as time goes on to make sure that they do what they say they're going to do. Linda is not here today because she's getting ready for her show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460. So our guest co-host this Thursday is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, how are you? You know, Missy just... It's nice having somebody on that smiles all the time. Linda smiles all the time, so you do too. Other people have come in here in shell shock, but not you. And, of course, Judy Salter was on last week, and she smiles all the time. She was right in the middle of it, too. You know, so, you know what? The only one that's probably having problems here is me. Our guest is Senator Maurice Johannesson, and we've been talking about the chapel. We've been talking about the Veterans Home. Got a couple of minutes left here before this segment goes out, Senator. What else we have going on here with for our veterans?
Well, actually, the things are continuing expanding. We're talking about other possibilities now, and if we can get the chapel reasonably put together quickly, there may be something else that we can put together, such as an area where you can have, I call it the Veteran Daycare Center, but basically what that is some places that the family can take the elderly veteran or something, put them there in the morning so they can go to work without having to hire help all day to watch them.
Well, that's good.
And these veterans then can sit around telling lies and everything they want to do.
As we do right now.
Exactly.
It's kind of like
it continues.
It's kind of like being at Tobacco and Brew, except with more adult supervision. We all sit out there and smoke. Hey, you know what? We were talking about this. It's very full tomorrow night at Yuba, and we're not sure how much room you have, but Bob Dunlap of the Shasta County Veterans Service Office has 6 tickets available. So that's Bob Dunlap at the Shasta County Veterans Assistance Office, Veterans Service Office, has 6 tickets available for tomorrow evening, and his phone number is 225-5616. 225-5616, 6 tickets available. So that's good.
Better get them quick.
Better get them quick, though. I think. Yeah.
That's a sold out event.
Do we have to sit on each other's lap while we're in there eating or something? Is it going to be that?
Do what, sir?
Are we going to have to sit on? I mean, it's going to be laid out.
We'll find the room.
There'll be room. There'll be room.
And this wonderful food being professionally prepared. This is all. I mean, it's not. This is nice. This is really nice. And I think that the people that are going to be there is going to be happy that I came. And by all means, remember to take a trip out to IGO and take a look at the cemetery and take a look at it. No one go out there without being impressed, I guarantee it.
No. And it's out at IGO. You need to take a trip out there. And then, like we said, you know, Linda and I are going to be there tomorrow, and as is Missy, and I'm sure so many others. As you said, you've got 250 tickets, and you've got 300 people coming, but there should be plenty of room. There's room down there for there.
It should be.
Yeah.
I hope.
Okay, we're gonna take a break here. We're gonna come back, and Senator, you're more than invited to stay here. But I want to talk about an ad that we play on our radio station. I want to hear what people think about this. It's caused some consternation. It's been in the paper. I think it's time that we need to discuss something like this. Carl Lindebaut, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's off today. She's getting ready for the show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott. She's got Brenda Belongi going to be her guest of Women in a Man's World, Breaking That Glass Ceiling. And we've had some great guests, you know, sheriff's deputies, linemen, you know, the whole shooting match there. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Right off Airport Road, Doug Tooley and his guys, they sell Dish Satellite. They install it. We've had people write to us saying what great service they got. It's a local guy. He's been in business since 1985, except the time he took out to be in the 82nd Airborne. Doug guarantees his work. And if you have, you know, if you want to call and talk to somebody, you talk to Heather or you talk to Doug. You don't end up calling Indonesia. Not that there's anything wrong with Indonesia. It's just I kind of like to be able, you know, to talk to somebody here. Local business, local guy. Money stays local. Shop local. You know, there's some things, you know, with this political campaign. You know, political campaigns get heated. And, you know, things, you know, you get ads from all different organizations and people. And you can't help but listen to them. And that's, we listen to every ad we go out there. Now, if it's a local ads, we listen to them very closely. If they come to us from the nationals, that, you know, that just accompany the nationally syndicated shows, we don't have very much to say about that at all. However, we have said before, is after we've heard a few of them, as we've gone online and said, you know what, this is, you know, before you, you know, call the psych line 850 times, you may not want to do that. Or, you know, we're not endorsing a psych line. We're not endorsing some of these others. I mean, I just want people to understand those are ones that come to us from the national.
Contractual.
It's a contractual thing. We don't have. Yeah, and every station around here will tell you the same thing. Well, we got a phone call yesterday concerning an ad that was being played, not by us, but it is now. And it's from the International
Brotherhood
of Electrical Workers, IBEW. Let's play that ad.
Citizens of Reading, the recent compensation survey commissioned by the Reading Chamber of Commerce and Builders Exchange proves that many of our Reading employees already received next to, if not the absolute lowest in overall benefits and wages. Measures A and B are simply a smokescreen for the special interest projects of Mayor Jones, Councilpersons Bozzetti and MacArthur. Behind the scenes, federal stimulus dollars have been spent on paving the road to Coach Rick Bozzetti's ballpark. Without council approval, Patrick Jones seeks federal dollars for his Oasis Road project. Why weren't their pet projects put on ballot measures? Mayor Jones and Councilman Bozzetti say they want the input of Reading citizens. However, at the June 15th council meeting, Bozzetti made it clear that his mind was made up regardless of how the citizens vote on measures A and B. These council members are behaving like dictators. We deserve council persons who do the job they were elected to do. Vote no on measures A and B and elect council persons who will do their job. Paid for by IBEW, Local 1245.
Okay, thanks. You know, Bruce Ross had something in the paper today, so he said, I rang up IBEW to see if he could explain the ad, and, you know, at this point, when they were getting ready to go to the paper, they hadn't heard back yet. And then Ross called Brian Crane, the city's public works honcho, who said that the federal stimulus money designated for non-vehicle projects is paying for the bike lanes along the College View Drive from Bethel Church's campus past Simpson out to Old Oregon Trail in Shasta College. He also pointed out that it's not a city project. As we reported, and this is Bruce Ross saying, reported way back in the spring of 2009, the work was authorized and has been managed by the Shasta County Public Works and the Regional Transportation Planning Agency, on whose board Bozzetti has never, as far as I know, been a member. So behind the scenes, people who don't have anything to do with the Reading City Council built a bike lane past the future home of Coach Bozzetti's ballpark. Well, you know, it's not just Coach Bozzetti's ballpark. It's Colt 45's, and it's also the city's. And Simpsons. We've been there to support building the ballpark. Linda sang National Anthem. We were there. We've talked about it because I think a ballpark's a good thing. But it doesn't sound like we're using federal funds to build a road out there that Bozzetti's had anything even to do with it. From what I understand is that the way, and Senator Johannesson, you're here, you used to be on the city council. And Missy, I'm going to kind of like have you recuse yourself a little bit on this one because you're in the middle of this thing. You know, can the city council just grab money like that and poke it into their own pet projects?
The city council as a whole can make a determination, but no individual member of the city council can.
Okay.
And these are some of the problems, of course, you deal with all the time. We would have had a second axis off of Turtle Bay by now if I had a way of doing it, but you can't do that. So this is not any single individual that can do that. It's a joint action by city council. But it's also other entities that get involved in all of these things. And having been a mayor myself, as well as the chairman of the board of supervisors here, I can tell you, no individual have that kind of a power to do that.
Okay. You know, here's I guess the part is that when you hear things, and when that had come out, Bozzetti had said then, that's not true, I couldn't do that. You know, the rest of the message in this is, you know, just like any political ad, you can take a part of it and kind of, you know, push it out however you want to spin it. I mean, that's just the way it is. The tone, however, this is Reading. And this is the first time I've heard an ad like this that is this angry. And is this the type of thing, and this is for our callers and people that are chatting, there was no question that we'd play it. And it's not the money thing. There's no question that we play it because to not play it is censoring. And we're really big on not censoring a message. But I felt like it needed to be brought out. It needed to be talked about, because is this the kind of is this what we want? Is this the type of tone we want in our city?
Let me say one thing, Carl. I think that the bottom line is that this was paid for by IBEW.
Yeah.
And I think that the people of Reading maybe are somewhat being led astray, and that they see it as the council versus police and fire safety, public safety. That's not actually the case. It's actually the taxpayers versus the unions here. The unions are doing this, and it's the taxpayer that has to watch out.
Well, you know, and I understand what you're saying. You know, but going back to the IBEW, is I know several of the linemen and the people that work there. You know, these people are the people that I know are not angry, hateful individuals.
They
are not individuals that are like that.
We have great employees.
And we have, I believe, you know, and I know, you know, the police and the fire and, you know, many of the city employees. I've had nothing but great service from the city employees. I have nothing but trust for our police and fire. I don't think that's a point here. But this type of ad, we got to take a break, and we're going to come back. Kay, we'll get to you as soon as we get back from our break. It's the type of thing that just, I see it just building that wall higher and thicker here, because we still have to, we need to discuss this. We need to settle these things for our city.
Well, do we want our city to become another GM? You know, the unions control that, and look what happened there. It's time for the taxpayers to say, had enough.
Okay, well, let's take a break here. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and DeBott. Linda's off today getting ready for the show tonight on the spot. Linda Bott, our guest co-host, is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur. And Kay, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Please, give us your comments.
Oh, hi, Carl.
Hi.
Hi. It's interesting to listen to all three of you talk today. On the bike trail on 299 East,
uh-huh.
I negotiated the bike trail to Shasta College when they put the 299 East, when they made it what it is today.
Uh-huh.
And I was in 1970-71, I was a student at Shasta College in student government, and I negotiated with the Caltrans, well, it was the Division of Highways at that time. And it turned out that the part from Interstate 5 to Holly Road to what's now Churn Creek,
uh-huh,
was the first interstate highway or first state highway in the United States. It was built with federal funds that had a bike trail that was not contiguous with the freeway.
So you're saying is that this started a long time ago?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's your bottom line. It started a long time ago.
And it's been, you know, Caltrans was involved in it, and then when Simpson came along and they, you know, I mean, the bike trail was very much part of the planning through the whole thing.
Well, Kay,
unfortunately, when they did the same thing in up in Weed,
uh-huh,
they didn't know who to talk to, and so they didn't do that up there.
Okay.
It would have been really good to have one in Weed so that the kids could go to, you know, people could ride their bikes easier too.
Yeah.
Hey, Kay, thanks for working on that. Appreciate it. I appreciate you having worked on this back in the day. Excellent. I'm sure Senator Johannesson does as well.
Yeah.
We
appreciate your comments, Kay. Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. You know, here's the thing is, you know, the unions, and this is the, you know, this is the big battle. But you know, they feel like, hey, look, we've given a lot here, and we're not being treated with respect. We're not being treated correctly. And so I understand.
Actually, well, yeah, but I know in the negotiations, they've been met with like 30 times. So there have been a lot of negotiations. But you know, there's a great quote by Upton Sinclair, and it says, "It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it."
Oh.
And I think that in this case, there's a choose not to understand.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody, every candidate we've had in here, maybe the exception of one, has all agreed, and even the police union and the police managers association or the policemen's association, they all say that something's got to be done.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think there's any disagreement with anybody that something has to be done, that there's got to be some changes. And right. The question is, though, is, and when it gets down to it, is which group do you want to have negotiating? I mean, and I think that's the bottom line. So,
well, we were talking about ads and how they deal with ads, and the ads that's coming out now is not much different than it used to be. But you know, hold on, you know, because it's getting really close to the end, and when that happens, usually all the dirt's going to come out in the beginning. I mean, in the end, and then hoping the opposition then doesn't have anything that can respond, because it wouldn't be time to respond. It's a dirty side of politics. But, it's not that unusual to do that. But I hope that the rancor, if that's what it is,
and that's what I'm concerned about,
it shouldn't be there.
You know, I think that you should hammer away against your opponent if you don't agree with their decisions. I just like to see the rancor not be there. That let's do this in a civil, you know, I disagree with you, I think you're wrong, and this is why you're wrong, but you don't have to then kill him afterwards.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Always you have these kind of things. Remember, you've got to be together afterwards and talking.
See, that's it.
That's right. But the uneven playing field, if, in fact, rumor has it that the unions have given $21,000 to each of their three slate candidates, how does somebody who has a small business or somebody who works for not a great salary combat that kind of financial wherewithal to do what you're saying, which is just keep saying over and over, this is what I represent, if you don't have the money to get the message out?
Well, this is what Free Fire Radio tries to do. We try to get everybody out here. We try to talk about it. We try to discuss it in as fair a manner as we possibly can. Gary.
Yeah, my name is Gary, and I'd like to thank the senator for what he's done to Veterans Cemetery and the veteran.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Sometimes you wonder, and you know,
also,
people listen.
I'd like to ask Missy, you know, I've been to council meetings, and I was there when Kurt Starman addressed the council, and he told them that employees gave up wages for the CalPERS retirement payment to pay their share, and now they're asking for them back, and I don't think any way that's fair. What's her explanation for this?
Who's asking? Clarify that, please. You said somebody's asking for something back. What? Say that again.
Gary, we didn't quite hear that. It was the comment wasn't quite clear. Could you say that again?
Yeah, I just want to ask Missy. I was there at a council meeting when Kurt Starman addressed the meeting, and he told the council that the city employees, the unions, gave up wage increases in lieu of paying their share of CalPERS. So they're actually paying their share of CalPERS by giving up wage increases. And I just want to know how she can address this.
Okay, that's a good question.
Okay, yeah, that was,
thanks, Gary.
That was a one-time deal where they were doing it for a certain finite period of time. It wasn't a go-forward, going to last forever kind of situation. So at that point, when that time frame ended, then it has to be rediscussed all over again.
So that was just, it was a temporary thing, is what you're saying. All right, Gary, thanks so much for your phone call. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Thank you. back down. No, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready for a show on the spot with Linda Bott tonight at 6 p.m. Our guest co-host is Vice Mayor Missy MacArthur.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. You know, the Senator Johannesson is racing off to another event he's got. But, you know, we have a gentleman that's been on our show several times that does so much for our community, for the veteran community. His name's Bill Phelan. He's I call him Gunny, but I think he retired as a master sergeant. He's been big with the Military Order of the Purple Heart. He used to be the head of the Military Order of the Purple Heart right here in Reading and was the vice commander for the whole state. And he just kind of like handed over the reins for right here in Reading. And they gave him, he was awarded something that he richly deserved, a beautiful plaque here, an award of excellence presented to William B. Phelan, United States Marine Corps retired, American patriot, duty, honor, country. In honor of your outstanding leadership, unselfish dedication, countless contributions, and distinguished service to the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Jack Tolbert Chapter, 2001. You know what? I can't think of somebody, if anybody else, that deserves this more than you did. It's absolutely beautiful.
Just Gunny. Gorgeous. Just
well,
gorgeous.
Thank you very much,
congratulations,
Carl.
Gunny.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to have received it, but I've sort of have ambivalent or mixed feelings about it. I was one person in a group of outstanding people.
Yeah, I know
our entire membership, our ladies' auxiliary, they're the most selfless, tireless, hardworking people in the world. And it was just a pleasure to serve as their commander, and we raised a ton of money for the veterans community. But it was a labor of love that we all thoroughly enjoyed, and I wish that everybody's name, my name's on this plaque, but I share this with our entire membership and our entire ladies' auxiliary, and I'm very humbled to have received it. Thank you.
Well, you know, Guns, nobody deserves it more than you, and we appreciate everything that you've done.
Absolutely.
There. Okay, let's go to the phones for, like, Jim. We have, like, literally 15 seconds here.
Okay, well, I also wanted to thank our legal immigrants like Molly Wilson, Maurice Johansson, and Kim Chamberlain that are standing up for our country, because if without those people, I think we'd be done the tubes.
Well, I think you're right.
And the only other one would be Linda Hartman, and she's not, and her family comes from northern Michigan, which could be Southern Canada. So.
Yeah, that could be considered a foreign country, right?
In fact, sometimes
Southern California is considered a foreign country. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for your comments.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, hey, Guns, thanks a lot. Missy, thank you so much for standing in here today.
It's been excellent.
Well, you know, we wanted to talk about a lot of different things today, and, you know, the fact is that this politics is rough. But, you know, we need to put out the facts and not get so angry with people that, you know, is that what we want? It keeps things from happening. Tonight, on the spot with Linda Bott, 6 p.m., with Bob Belongi's wife, will be on there. And tomorrow, Patrick Jones will be our guest. I'll be talking.
Ben is very much
politics.
Your own person, by the way.
And tomorrow at noon, of course, is town hall meeting at Tobacco and Brew. Great place to have in the meeting room there. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta, Reading.